Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is a beautiful fall day and a special day. We are recognizing our veterans, and later on in the service, Diane will play all the service songs, and we'll have the veterans stand, and then we have something for them. Also today, we are going to anoint the shoe boxes during the children's moment. But it's a good day, a special day. Good to be here in the house of the Lord and to worship God in light of all the changes that are going on in our country. Our country needs us more than ever to come together under the bond of unity and to worship God and to lift high the name of Jesus. So that's why we're here today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we give you thanks for today. We give you thanks for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for our homes, our vehicles, the roads that we've traveled, the country in which we live. Thank you for church. Here in this place, we pull together, Lord, to serve you by reaching out to the world. And here in this place, we pull together to worship you and to praise you, to lift high the name of Jesus. So we pray, God, that what we do here today is pleasing unto you. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us. Anoint us, O Lord. Fill us with your love, one for the other, and especially with love for you. We pray that what we do here is pleasing unto you. For all of this we ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. Now let us pass the peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning. Good morning. As you make your way back to your seats this morning, I would like to proceed with our service. And first, I do want to offer a warm welcome to all present, and especially any visitors. And do we have any visitors today? If you'd like to raise your hand so that we can recognize you. And also, the ushers will be giving you a welcome packet of information. Ushers. Can you grab a few welcome packets? We have a few visitors. If you can grab a few welcome packets, we have a couple visitors. Visitors, if you can raise your hand again. And again, welcome on behalf of First Church. Also, a reminder to please sign the registration sheet in the red folder located at the end of your pew. And you can sign that registration pad and pass it to others in the center aisle. If you have a prayer request, please complete the index card found in the red holder and put it in the clear holder at the end of your pew. Ushers will bring it forward. Our memory verse for November is printed at the top front page of your bulletin. Join me now reciting the book, chapter, and verse, and we will do that twice through. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You will note that we have many announcements in today's bulletin. I will highlight a few of them for you. First of all, can you smell the deliciousness? I still have a little stuffed nose, and I smelled it coming in. That means Soup Sunday. Our Outreach Committee sponsors this, and it is a wonderful way to continue after worship with fellowship and delicious food. We always have a nice variety of soups on our menu. We have soup and sandwich and desserts and beverages. So we hope that you'll all join us after worship today for our Soup Sunday. Another great meal coming up is this Friday, November 18th at 6 p.m., a spaghetti dinner will be held. Our Finance Committee Chair, Laurie, and if any of you have ever had her delicious cooking, Laurie's in fact making the sauces and the meatballs for the spaghetti dinner. There will also be entertainment scheduled here in the sanctuary after the meal. Barb, if you can raise your hand, Barb will be selling tickets today after worship for that spaghetti dinner. There will be no sales at the door, so if you do plan on coming, I hope that you will be able to get your ticket today. Now, in the event that you don't have enough cash and you still want to come, please let Barb know, and we'll certainly make arrangements to have a ticket ready for you. The Outreach Committee is also sponsoring our annual Thanksgiving food baskets. So after worship, check the poster board in the narthex for little colored sticky notes for the supplies, different foods, and other items that we need to make that a successful food drive for local families in our area. And also a reminder that Rata Cutlery is in. If you ordered Rata Cutlery, you can pick up your order in today's after worship in the office. And a final announcement, our Methodist men, a great group of men, will be meeting this Tuesday morning beginning at 9 a.m. here at the church. They will be building and putting up the manger scene for Irwin's Light Up Night that is scheduled for this Thursday. So again, if you can lend a hand to the Methodist men, they will be putting the manger scene up. And now Diane has a few announcements.
First of all, Ethel will still have pens for sale, those stylus pens out in the narthex after the service. And I'm going to be passing the clipboard for people to come help next Sunday for hanging of the greens. The more people we have, the faster it'll go, and the faster you can get to that Steeler game that's next week. Also, we still need some signatures on the refreshment page for during Advent. We're going to be having many coffee hours after both services all through Advent. And when you sign up for that, you're not just bringing the cookies or whatever, you're actually back there making sure that things are laid out and welcoming people that are there. So therefore, we need more than one person on a day. So if you can sign on to help the person that might already be signed up, that's great. If you are the person who has signed up and you already have helpers arranged, put plus helpers there so that we know that we have enough people to help you. The reason we need to have the refreshments is because we're really hoping for a lot of visitors and homecoming for those who perhaps haven't been for a while. So in the narthex, there is a basket. It's kind of on the table on that side, and it has those big postcards in it. We ask that you take a handful and either hand them out to people that you would like to invite to come to church or people that you would like to ask to come back to church. And if you mail them, you just have to use a full first-class postage on it because they are oversized. But it's very important that you do that outreach for us, for all of us, not just for the guests, but for those that maybe you haven't seen in a while. Let them know that we're still here, and we still love them, and we still hope that they will be back to worship with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. And just as a reminder, Diane will be passing the clipboard, and there are several pages of activities that will be going on in the church. And then just a final reminder to please check your bulletin again. We do have a lot of announcements. Check the calendar for the events that are going on in the life of our church. And I ask that you turn your hearts and minds to our worship. Of applause for cousin Sophie and Hannah. Thank you, girls. Great job. Now I would ask you to turn in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship. Please turn to page 842 in your red hymnal. Recite your response to my prompt. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in your ways.
Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you.
Turn away the reproach which I dread, for your ordinances are good. Please turn in your black hymnal to the very last page, number 2284, Joy in the Morning, and please rise for our morning hymn. Our word of God this morning is in Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. You can find that in chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Now hear Paul's words. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. May we all heed Paul's words this morning.
We want to take this time now to recognize our veterans. And Diane is going to play your service songs. And when you hear your service song played, we'd ask you to stand. And then I would like all of the veterans to remain standing, and the ushers will be handing out to you a real small token of our appreciation for all that you've done. You'll receive this little envelope that contains a star that has been cut out of a flag that has been tattered and torn and been turned in to be disposed of correctly. And they cut out these stars, they put them in these little sealed packets, and they contain a message on them that says, I am part of our American flag that has flown over the USA. I can no longer fly. The sun and winds caused me to become tattered and torn. Please carry me as a reminder that you are not forgotten. And we definitely want to tell our veterans that what they've done for us is not forgotten. So thank you for what you've done. And now, listen for your service song. Air Force. If you're from the Air Force, stand. Thank you. Army, please stand. Coast Guard. Navy. Now, if all of our veterans would please stand, I want to have a word of prayer for you. And along with you, if all the family members of veterans would please stand. Because quite often, you too have had to pay the price. And it's either in what they went through, you were with them then, or the memories that they've carried with them of the service they've done for our country has become part of your life as well. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up our veterans and their families unto you into the light and love of your presence. We pray, God, that you would wrap your arms around them and whisper in their ears that you love them. Bless them, Lord. Bring to them a healing where it's needed. Fill them with the peace that passes all understanding. Bless them and their families, their homes. Pour out your spirit upon them, Lord. For we thank you for what they've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. And once again, thank you. We would not be able to do what we do if it weren't for your service and commitment. Time for our children. We'll need a couple for Bucket Brigade to help the girls. But anyhow, this bump. All right. Hey, you know, we have shoe boxes here today, part of the Franklin Graham Ministry. And people take these shoe boxes and they fill them with a variety of things to give to the kids who are in need all over the world, here in our own country and in different countries all over the world. It's kind of neat. It's just a little thing to help them out. But I have a bag here with stuff that I brought from home. And I'm going to take, that's the candy bag. I'm going to take things out and we're going to look at them and we're going to imagine what it would be like to live without them. Okay? What's this? It's a book. This one here is by Lewis L'Amour. He writes Western novels. Lewis has passed away a number of years ago, but he's my favorite author. I have all his books. Love Western books. Imagine what would it be like to not have any books.
I would not like that because I like to read books.
You like to read books. You wouldn't like that, I know.
Me too.
Yeah. Imagine to have no books, no newspapers, no magazines. Yeah, and in a lot of kids all over the world, they don't have books. They don't have anything to read, and a lot of kids don't even have the education to read. They can't read. So this is something we should be thankful for, is for books and our education. About this? You know who this is?
Robin,
Batman's sidekick. Yeah, toys, you know. Do you have toys at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. A thousand baby dolls? Probably. Okay. Yeah, baby dolls now, shoes later. I understand. Yeah. But toys. It would be horrible not to have any toys, wouldn't it? I mean, toys are fun. But there are a lot of children all over the world, even here in the United States, that don't have toys to play with. Pencils and pens. It's a simple thing. Simple. And yet, you know, in our drawers, like my drawers at home, I know I have over 100, probably a couple hundred pens and pencils. And in the drawers around this church, there are hundreds of pens and pencils. And they're just all over the place. And we can write with them and draw with them and add things up. And yet there are children all over the world who don't have pens and pencils. Or they might have one. It's very important to their family and they can't play with it. But we have lots and lots of that stuff. Fire, heat. There's a lot of children who don't have heat. They have a hard time keeping warm. Or they live by the heat from a little bit of coal or wood. Or some of them live out on the streets. They don't have homes. If we want heat, we just turn up the thermostat. Or we just go to our dresser and we get out some warm clothes. Or we go to the closet and we get out coat and hat and gloves. There's a lot of children all over the world that don't have that kind of stuff. Light. When you go into your bedroom, if it's dark out, what do?
Turn on your light.
And how do you turn on the light?
By light switch.
Just your light switch. Just flick the switch and the light comes on. You know, there's a lot of children that live in darkness. They don't have lights.
And speaking of that, we eat in our living room in my mom and dad's bedroom. We don't have to turn the lights on because we have a robot that turns it on for us.
You have a robot that turns it on for you?
Her name is Alexa. She's just this.
See, Amazon Echo. It's that little
Emmy
Tower.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I live with an herb, but
can I help? Do you wash the clothes, clean the windows too? No? Just?
Oh,
yeah, I'll just turn lights on. Okay. I'll have to get Alexa for home, yes. Okay.
Water.
You know, when they first came out with bottled water, I said, I will never buy bottled water. How stupid is that? I buy bottled water all the time now. Clean, good water, pure water that we can drink. And there are a whole lot of children all over the world who don't have good, clean drinking water.
Matter of fact, the water that they have to drink gives them parasites, makes them sick, but they don't have a choice. But we have all kind of water. All we got to do is turn on the faucet or grab a bottle of water. Yes, yeah. One more thing, one of Pastor Bruce's personal favorites, okay?
Yes, sir. I'm very thankful for toilet paper.
You're very thankful for toilet paper. That's right. Very good. Yes, we should be. Imagine life without it. No, don't imagine life without it. No, but this is something I'm sure we take for granted, but we should be very thankful, especially feel how soft it is. Okay, we're getting weird here. All right, put that away. But these are all things that we should be thankful for. These and a whole lot more. We open up a refrigerator or a cupboard and there's all kind of food. We indeed are a very, very blessed people. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Help us to be a blessing to others. Help us to help those people who don't have these things. God, we love you. We know that you love us. So pour out your Spirit upon us and show us the way to go and what we should do. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I act just like I should, when I say thank you and please, brush my teeth and wash my knees. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Loves me when I'm bad, when I talk back to my dad, when I stomp and whine around and poke my bottom lip right out. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Thank you, girls, and I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we truly give you thanks for this opportunity to be a witness to the rest of the world that we are your children, that all that we have belongs to you. And Lord, we pray that these tithes and these offerings, given from a cheerful heart, will truly be a blessing to you and to all those to whom it is used for, Lord, through ministry, through the ministries of this church, for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask, God, that you would bless and multiply these offerings. Bless both gift and giver, those who are able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated.
Joys. Soup. Sunshine, yes. Puppy. All right. Cool. Grandchildren, absolutely. Amen to that.
Indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing, thank you, yes. Well, Stephanie, let's wrap it all up by saying it's a joy that the elections are over.
For our junior choir.
For our junior choir, absolutely. The girls are wonderful. Yes. Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. Now, that's your mom? That's Edith?
Yes.
Okay, Edith. And your name is?
I'm Randy
Baxter. Randy. Okay. Yep.
I second that motion. I'm proud to serve.
Okay. Anybody else have a joy? We have some old friends with us today. We had some old friends last night, and we went out to dinner, and then they came to church last night, a whole bunch of them, and it's always, you know, once family, always family. Good stuff. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Now for our concerns, pens and pencils, mental tablets. This is our prayer homework. It's my homework, your homework. We have a pipeline to God. Let's not take it for granted. We want to remember the Gilkey family. Rick passed away on November 11th. The Bastone family, we want to remember them in our prayers. Who else? Police officers, Cannonsburg in particular, that whole situation there. I know that the community's been pulling together. My daughter's a pastor there. Also Oakland, California. They firebombed some police officers out there. So we really need to pray for, which leads us to praying for our country. Make sure we pray for our country. Let's pray for our veterans as well, even though we've already done that. Pray for them again. For the men and women in the military. Yes, Eric is on his way to France. Parlez-vous français? Yes. Ambulances. So we want to pray for whoever, whatever the situation is, the details of which God knows. We always, Bonnie and I, driving down the road, if an ambulance goes by us, we pray. So good thing to do.
Along with our veterans and our police officers, we also want to pray for the volunteer firefighters and ambulance personnel.
Okay, let's pray for our first responders. Keep them in our prayers. Pray for the poor and the homeless. Fires and firefighters, the victims of the fires in the south there and that.
Both for joy and a concern, pray for our church.
Our church, keep our church in prayers, that that will grow in leaps and bounds. Pray for our church that we can turn things around and prosper financially and reach out in even more ministry than what we've been doing. Let's pray for revival. And for those who are addicted, let's remember to pray for addicts, addiction to drugs in particular, but there's all other kind of addictions as well we need to be praying about. A lot of people hurting. You know, we can go on and on all day. I mean, we need to pray for broken homes, broken marriages, abuse, victims of abuse, just lots of stuff. And we have a privilege, you and I, to pray to Almighty God because we know God hears us. So please don't take it for granted. Please think about the things that we've talked about here today and lift it up in prayer while you're at home this week. If you have an unspoken request for God, raise your hand. God, that's our act of faith. God sees that hand and knows the details. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name. And God, thank you. Thank you that you have given us a direct line to you. Thank you, God, that we can turn to you with any problem for ourselves or for someone else. And thank you, God, for your word that promises us that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. You, my God, will supply all our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is written. We have favor with God and man. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have nothing to fear. Thank you for all these things, God. And we lift up by faith into the light and love of your presence, the Gilkey family and Bastone family and those who are addicted and those who are traveling and our country and our country's leaders. We lift up our church and the ministry and our community here. We lift up to you that situation with the police, particularly in Cannonsburg and in Oakland. And we lift up all our first responders, Lord. Ambulance drivers and EMTs and firefighters as well. And then, Lord, we lift up to that situation with the ambulances this morning. We have no idea what the details are, Lord, but we're praying that you would move in a mighty way there. We lift up to you the poor and the homeless. We lift up to you our veterans, men and women in the military, and the unspoken request. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we give you all the honor and the glory and the praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 19. Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, Jesus said, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events, and great signs from heaven. But before all this happens, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. You know, it's important that we put God number one in our lives. We should give God complete control, complete access to everything in our lives. And a good way to do that is to start off with the beginning of the week, belonging to God, to set up the pattern for the rest of the week. So by being good stewards and giving God the beginning of the week, then all of it belongs to him. There was a man who went on a hike. And it was a beautiful fall morning. The air was cold, crisp. Oh, it was intoxicating. And he walked up into the woods on these mountains that he'd never been there before, but they looked beautiful and like they were calling him. And so he followed the trail, and he's going up the mountain. And he saw another trail that went off into the woods, and so he followed that trail. And the trail petered out. It disappeared. And he found himself in all this brush, really thick brush. And he stood there looking around him, watching deer run away and rabbits and birds and just all this wildlife. He thought, what a beautiful place. He thought, I could go back the way I came, but maybe I could push through this brush and get to the other side. And so he plunged into the brush, pulling and clawing, and he pushed his way through. And he fell off the edge of a cliff. And as he fell off the edge of the cliff, he turned around and he's grabbing at anything he can get a hold of to try and slow his fall. And he's going down the face of the cliff, and he reached out and he grabbed a hold of a root. And he clung onto it for dear life, and he held onto that root. And he stopped, and as he's hanging there, he looked down, and it was a long way down. And he looked up, and it was too far to get back up. He was stuck. And he started crying out, help me, help me. Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 19, which we just read, talks about the last days. Something that people always seem to be fascinated by. We all want to talk about the last day. What's the day of the Lord, the final days, the day of judgment? What are those days going to be like here for us? You know, everybody's curious to know that. They want to know when they'll begin and how long they'll last and what will happen during those days. And of course, they want to know what the Bible has to say about them. There are some people who say, oh, they'll never happen. They've been going on for a long time, and they've always been saying that. Well, it's true. It has been going on for a long time, and they've been talking about the day of the Lord since Jesus' day. But the thing that can't be denied is that more and more prophecy is being fulfilled, and the things that have said, that have been predicted in the Bible are coming, they're happening at an alarming rate all around us, no matter where we look. The Bible is full of scriptures that talk about the last days. And we could be here for days going through everything the Bible has to offer, but we're just going to talk about a couple of passages. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this second coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Even in Jesus' day, they were looking for the second coming over 2,000 years ago. And there were scoffers, people who didn't believe it, people who said who just poo-pooed religion, people who said they didn't believe in Jesus, this last day stuff, they didn't believe in any of that. And we have the same people with us today. There are people today running around saying that there's no last days. They don't believe in, some people run around saying they don't believe in God. There's people who scoff at church. There are people who scoff at religious people, scoff at the Bible. It can't be the Word of God. It's not, you know, nice. It's a good book, but it's not true. And yeah, the world is full of scoffers. And there are people trying to claim that they're the Antichrist. There are all kind of cults all over the world. And the time is near. Well, Second Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. But they deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So 2 Peter's telling us that at one time the world was destroyed by water, that it will in the future be destroyed by fire. That's what's being saved for the day of judgment. All kind of stuff going on. But it says that people deliberately forgot that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed. See, Even today, scientists who used to say that religion was just all superstition, scientists today are saying that there is a God. There is a supreme being. Most scientists are saying that because the more and more they examine in life, the smaller they break things down, the more they realize things couldn't exist unless somebody created them, somebody with a plan. I don't know if you've ever heard of the God particle, but scientists are talking about the God particle now, that particle that holds atoms and neutrons and molecules and all that together. And there's an order to the way everything is made. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 that because of the natural qualities of the world, because when you look around at nature, the way things are made, we are without excuse. We have no reason at all to not believe in God. So you have to believe in God. And people that say they don't, they're just lying to themselves. They are scoffers. Because God says it can't be denied. And it says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, don't forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. You and I, you know, we go by the 60 seconds to a minute and 60 minutes to an hour and 24 hours in a day. I'm telling you what, and the older you get, faster time goes too, doesn't it? If you want time to really go fast, sit down at the computer. Play a game. You play a game, and especially if you've got somewhere to go, boy, time just really... And if you want time to drag, do something you don't like. But with God, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. Time means nothing to God. And so it goes on to say that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It is God's desire that no matter how long it takes, that we would all be saved. God wants all of mankind to be saved. It says here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Well, let's begin with verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to be saved. And there are a lot of preachers out there today, a lot of churches who are preaching, you've heard me say this before, they're preaching universal salvation. That when Jesus died on the cross, that was it. It paid the price for everybody's sin. All over the world, whether they believe in him or not, Jesus died for everybody. But the Bible makes it clear, doesn't it? The Bible makes it clear that some will choose Jesus and some won't. That if you reject the Son, you're rejecting the Father. The Bible makes it clear that if you deny Jesus in front of other people, Jesus will deny you in front of the Father. The Bible says, and Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. Jesus said you had to pick up your cross daily to follow him. So some people do, some people don't. The Bible tells us that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many people walk on it, while narrow is the gate that leads to salvation, and few go that way. So I'm telling you, you know anybody preaching universal salvation? That's wrong. It's a heresy. No such thing. It's God's desire that everybody be saved. But not everybody will make that choice because God gives us a freedom of choice. We are in the last days. Prophecy is being fulfilled at an alarming rate all around us. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The day of the Lord will come like a thief.
I'm going to give this dollar to somebody. Make sure you give it back. With change, interest. No, I'm going to give this dollar to somebody. You had no idea I was going to give you that dollar, did you? None. None at all. The day of the Lord, judgment day, the final day, when it's all over and it's too late to make any more decisions, that day is going to come like a thief in the night. You'll have no idea when it'll happen. And we can't sit around saying, well, what are the signs? Show us the, you know, when can we expect this? The next 5 years, 10 years, 100 years? You know, a day is like 1,000 years. Maybe it won't happen for hundreds of years yet. And I say to you, what does it matter? Because we all live in our own end times. We're all going to die. Sooner or later. Some of us sooner than others. Tomorrow is promised to no one. The next 5 minutes aren't promised to any of us. We all have to be ready to meet our Maker. We all have to be ready. We all have to have Jesus in our hearts. We're living in the last days. Whether it's our own last days or the judgment of mankind, it's coming to an end. And if you listen to those TV evangelists and that, who always preach on prophecy and that, their message is almost all of them agree it's coming quick. So you guys are all saved, right? You all have Jesus in your heart. Nothing to worry about. No sweat. Big deal. Hey. So what if we go? It's like I told that bunch from my last church that came last night. Told them at dinner, I said, listen, I told them last night during church service, I said, when it comes to living in the last days, we're not worried. I said, the next couple of minutes aren't promised to anybody, and if I die in the next couple of minutes, don't worry about it, because the good news is I'll see you on the other side. But there's a lot of people who won't. There's a lot of people who don't have the toys, the food, who don't have Jesus. Now, they might be able to do without the toys and the food and stuff, but nobody can do without Jesus. And it's up to us to share that good news. Remember the guy that was hanging off the cliff holding on to the root? What happened to him? Now, he's hanging there and he's calling out for help. All of a sudden, he hears this big booming voice. This is God. I'm here to save you. Great, great God. Get me out of here. God says, okay. And all of a sudden, the man hears this commotion. And he looks down, and there's this flock of sheep gathering at the base of the cliff. And God says, let go. The man looks down, and he looks back up, and he says, is there anybody else up there? And God says, you've got to quit holding on to the things of the world. You've got to hold on to me. Have faith in me. But let go of the things of this world. The man takes a big sigh. He closes his eyes and he lets go of the root. And he falls down and he lands on a big fluffy lamb. Kills it dead. But the man rolls off of him, off of that lamb, and gets up and brushes himself off and is able to walk away. So quit holding on to the things of the world. Ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior in this life, so that in the life to come, you can have eternal life in heaven. And spread the word. Send those postcards out. Invite people to church. Share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they don't have a Bible, you let us know. We'll get them a Bible. Spread the word. Time's growing short. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing our final hymn, number 717, Battle Hymn of the Republic. The world needs what we know. Our friends, neighbors, co-workers, they all need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We have the soup sale going on, so please take advantage of that and partake of that. Keep an eye on the announcements. Please take them home and go over them again. Lots of things going on and coming up. Tickets for the spaghetti dinner. And be a good steward of your time and resources and put God first. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us and fill us with so much of your love that as we leave this place, we can't help but love others and share with them the best news that we have, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.